We're going to start the public hearing, so if everyone who is here would like to have a seat. Good afternoon. I apologize for starting on time, but this is my name is John Weingart. I'm the chair of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection Planning Council. And with me are four other members of the council. Deja Way, Scott Wayman, Chris Garuglio, and Janice Kovach. This public hearing has been noticed on the council's website, printed in newspapers to try to publicize it as best we can. This is the eighth of eight public hearings the Highlands Council is holding on the draft regional management plan that we put out for public comment on November 30th. We ask comments this afternoon, this evening. We focus on that draft plan. If you have comments specifically on the Highlands Act, you can direct them to the legislature. We're trying to get comments on the draft regional master plan so we can improve it for adoption. We welcome public comments on this draft plan. Our current deadline for comments is April 2nd, although I should mention that on the council will be having a meeting on Thursday on the agenda is a proposal to have one final extension of the comment periods on May 11th. Written comments are welcome at least by April 2nd. If you have written statements today, please bring them. We welcome having them, but we also welcome your oral comments. Even though there aren't too many people here yet, I imagine more people will be coming later on, so we'd ask that you keep your comments brief. And if you have questions about specific pieces of property in the Highlands region, members of the staff are at the table in the lobby and can help you with that. I'm going to call on people in the order in which you signed up to speak, except that I'm going to try to call on people who have not yet spoken in any of the previous Highlands Council public hearings first. So if you have spoken in previous hearings and I missed you, please wait till the end to speak. Any questions about the format for this? When you do speak, come to this microphone. The first person to speak is Ella Philippone, and I'll read a couple of names so that if you're second or third on the list, you want to move over toward that microphone to speak to the microphone. So after the Philippone will be then Haberkern, and then that's all.
Good evening, and welcome to Burnett's Township, Basking Ridge. You couldn't have picked a better place. This is where I live. But you picked a bad night because I have to go up to Greenwood Lake tonight, so I have to go all the way up to New York State. I can't just roll down the hill and go to bed. I have submitted a disc and several copies of it's somewhat of a report that we are submitting to the council. And we're focusing basically on the water issue because that is your prime directive to protect and preserve the water resources of the Highlands. In that regard, we have some very serious concerns, not with what you have done so far, but what you have yet to do. We recognize that there is a data gap, and we recognize the fact that we need to get better information on which to base decisions. But we are accepting the fact that even with the data gap, the professional people who have worked on this document have the background and understanding to come to certain conclusions. Based on that fact, we are extremely concerned that the public has not been made as aware as perhaps they should be with the deficits that occur with regard to surface water. In the Passaic River Basin, for example, which is a prime provider of drinking water supply, there is, according to your numbers, a 48 million gallon a day deficit in surface waters and a 33 million gallon per day deficit in groundwater. This is to me, this is the most serious finding in your plan. Of all of the other elements where you can nitpick about how you want to deal with certain kinds of development or non-development or buffers or any of the other issues that you are hearing, this deficit is serious. It speaks to the overdevelopment or the overallocation of water in the state of New Jersey. The report itself recognizes that in a few years there will be a deficit to the area to which water is exported, places like Paterson, Newark, Jersey City, the urban communities. To us at the Passaic River Coalition who live and drink water, and to all the people in this room who are dependent on water for their lives, I think it's incumbent that this plan conclude with a series of processes, rules, regulations, stipulations, whatever you want to call them, or even legislative initiatives that begin to find a way to decrease that deficit. We can't live with a deficit of that size. If we are sending 48 million gallons a day somewhere and now come up with a minus, we have got to find a place either not to send it or to correct it. We are going to need a very strong conservation program, and we're going to have to find ways to recharge better than we have been so that the groundwater replenishes itself. And I have to, and in this report, I have to question any initiative in the plan that supports excessive growth. Because you can't have a house, you can't have a school, you can't have anything without water. And we are now at minus. And this is not startling news, because the water supply plan of the state of New Jersey has recognized deficits in northern New Jersey for years. Morris County, for example, has had a deficit for as long as I can remember. I think it's at least 20 years, maybe more. So, to me, without going into a great deal of detail about what our report indicates, I want you, the members of the council, to understand, from my point of view, that when we have a minus, just as when you have a minus in your checkbook, that's not good news. We have attempted to make a couple of recommendations. Some of them are very standard, because we feel that in some cases you have touched on certain issues, but perhaps need to refine them somewhat. To protect and restore the forests, and with a particular emphasis on the headwaters of the Highlands. The headwaters are so important because a river or a stream gets its life at that point. And when you begin to degrade that area or distress it, the river or the stream shows that stress. Passaic River is your best example, because there was overdevelopment in one of the communities in the headwaters, and we immediately saw the change.
Try to make the recommendations.
Okay. I will go through my recommendations and not get too detailed. To protect and restore the forests of the headwaters of the Highlands, to increase or at a minimum to maintain the amount of water recharged to groundwater, to reduce the consumptive depletive use of groundwater and surface water, to reduce loadings of phosphorus, nitrogen, and total suspended solids, to maintain and improve the green infrastructure of the Highlands, to eliminate planned community zones where development is not sustainable, where a water deficit exists within the HUC, where environmental sensitive areas exist, and within the preservation area overall, to create a redevelopment component to the RMP, which addresses decreasing impervious areas and replacing them with better recharge and environmentally sensitive areas, and to create a scientifically appropriate plan for monitoring the water resources of the Highland for flow and water quality. All of these recommendations have some reference in the report that I have submitted to the Council.
Good afternoon. My name is Lynn Haberkern, and I'm the president of Preserve Historic Hackettstown. We support the purpose of the Highlands Act, and we do appreciate the efforts to improve and refine the details. And we feel the time is of the essence to look toward closing the comment period and moving on with business. We do want to express our concern about the pressures that are being placed on some of the communities in the purple areas with respect to both the natural and the cultural resources. Many of New Jersey's older communities were founded along our waterways, like Morris Canal. These communities have some of our most important natural and cultural resources, and they also happen to be in the purple area. Our group, Preserve Historic Hackettstown, is most specifically focused on the cultural resources. As the plan stands now, the protection for those resources are being left to these pieces of are being left to the local planning boards and the municipalities. That these are pieces of our history that we feel left to the local municipalities will not be enough protection for our history. Preserve Historic Hackettstown was founded due to a lack of local expertise and local initiative with respect to our community. That was the purpose of our formation. Therefore, we just want to impress on you how imperative it is that those protections be included in the plan. And we do feel that if you leave it to the local level, our heritage will be bulldozed and left to the developers and not here for our children. Thank you.
Next is Basil Holm, be followed by Christopher Teasdale and Dennis Gold.
Good evening. My name is Basil Holm. I'm a director of Citizens to Save Tewkesbury, a local advocacy group in Tewkesbury Township, Hunterdon County, and I'm speaking on their behalf this evening. CST is a local advocacy group whose objective is to preserve and protect the rural environment of the township. The township is roughly split two-thirds preservation area, one-third planning area. The preservation area is divided approximately equally between the protection zone and the conservation zone. In the planning area, the ratio is about 60% protection zone and 40% conservation zone. CST strongly supports the goals of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act and has several comments on the draft RMP, most of which it believes, while specifically applying to Tewkesbury, are of general relevance. In summary, these are the concerns of CST. First, CST believes the plan can only achieve the objectives of the Act if substantially all the planning area municipalities opt in those areas. It is CST's view that municipalities will opt in if the ultimate outcome of doing so is either known or is not in doubt. Specifically in Tewkesbury, we have a situation where a large parcel of municipally owned property has affordable housing under construction currently, with the potential for additions to satisfy COA third round requirements. This property in the planning area is shown on the land use capability map to be part of the protection zone. Tewkesbury and other municipalities in a similar position must be completely satisfied that properties such as that described will not be frozen for future affordable housing if they choose to opt in. In addition, the January 2007 New Jersey Appellate Court COA decision has thrown a spanner in the works. It is likely the litigation will end up in the Federal Supreme Court with a final outcome not determined for years. This will make municipalities with planning areas unwilling to commit those areas to mandatory Highlands regulation unless they have the right to rescind the decision to opt in if the litigation yields a significant increase in their COA obligations. The second point is that with regard to the benefits from opting in a planning area, CST recommends the council should underwrite not only legal costs, but also any damages awarded in an attack on a municipality choosing to opt in. Third, 2 points concerning transfer of development rights. A, essentially the Highlands development credits will have a discounted value from full market value so as to create a viable marketplace. If a government authority uses eminent domain to acquire a TDR property, it should pay full value, not Highlands development credit value. B, since a key element for landowner payouts will be the TDR program, CST maintains the elements making up the program, such as the Highlands TDR bank, establishing the minimum HDC price, a registry for sending and receiving areas, etc., should be a top priority so that landowners know where they are from the time of the adoption of the plan. Fourth, CST suggests that in order to meet a principal RMP objective of maintaining a healthy agricultural sector, the Highlands Council should establish a Highlands Farm Bank, initially funded, as in the case of the Highlands TDR Bank, with government money to provide loans to farmers to maintain and improve their farming operations. One of the major concerns, and a justifiable one, of the farming community is that Highlands restrictions will adversely affect the value of their land and therefore their ability to raise money for their activities. Fifth, CST has recommendations for certain changes to the land use capability map covering Tewkesbury, and these are detailed in the memo which I'll be leaving with you. And finally, CST suggests that the policies for each of the three zones should be set out together in appendices so the reader can see gathered together in one section all the policies that apply to a particular zone, rather than having to go through it, pick it out here, pick it out there. Thank you, sir.
I am the chairman of Christopher Teasdale, 11 Dinner Pot Road, Califon, New Jersey. I'm the chairman of the Tewkesbury Township Environmental Commission, very famed township that Basil was just talking about. The commissioners asked me to publicly state our support of the Highlands Regional Master Plan. We are supportive of the overlay zones, particularly the protection zone. We're supportive of this zone in the protection of our water, and there's a lot of headwaters in the township. We're supportive of the protection zone as it protects our dwindling forests. We have some of the last large forest patches in Hunterdon County. We are also supportive of providing farmers who wish to sell their easements on the property with pre-Highlands assessment so as to maximize their gain. And finally, both the Highlands Act and the draft regional master plan have already begun to save our township money. In recent years, we have been beset by development applications, and since the Act's passage, applications have dwindled, and we have been able to combine both our planning board and our board of adjustment into a single land use board, which saves monies on professional development and staff services. So thank you for the ability to comment. More specific editorial comments are coming from our land use board and township planner. Thank you.
Hi, Dennis Galway. I'm a consultant forester in New Jersey. I'm the immediate past chair of the New Jersey Division of Society of American Foresters and also the co-chair of the New Jersey Tree Farm Program. I have a few comments here that are concerned of my fellow foresters and myself that I'd like to bring up this time. One is the standardization of the tree cutting ordinance. The draft RMP mentions standardizing municipal tree cutting ordinances in the pre-conformance measures, but not in the conformance measures. Standardized tree cutting ordinance recognizing the forestry exemption under the Section 30A7 of the Highlands Act should be added to the conformance measures of the plan. this is, you know, very important that we have standardized things. The forestry exemption, if forestry is exempt under Section 30A7 of the Highlands Act, then why do both the draft RMP and the Ecosystem Management Technical Report suggest making all kinds of inspections of purely forestry-related activities? These activities are currently inspected by New Jersey DEP under the Farmland Assessment Act. Also, going back to the ordinances, many of the townships have requirements for permitting of harvesting and of timber or implementing other forestry activities. And many times in these townships, the township officials, planning or environmental board or somebody from the township goes out and inspects the property afterwards and make sure it's in conformance with their ordinance. So we see a lot of redundancy here. And, you know, you have to have a management plan, of course, and some even require what's called a harvest plan. So there's a, really a lot of redundancy here. Also, you know, there's some mention of a fee for these inspections within the Highland, and that's really stirring up another hornet's nest, because if you just have it in the Highlands, what about all the other folks outside the Highlands who would not have a fee associated with it? So you're making an inequality right off the bat there. Best management practices. Both the draft plan and the Ecosystem Management Technical Report allude to making changes to the 1995 forestry and wetlands best management practices. In order to establish a scientific basis for changing these current BMPs, best management practices, a multi-year paired watershed study would need to be conducted, where you do nothing maybe on one watershed and put the BMPs in another watershed and compare what the differences would be. excuse me. In the draft plan and in the Ecosystem Management Technical Report, it mentions the farmland assessment law and how it affects proper or accepted forestry practices. We foresters would like clarification on how you plan to go forward with changing farmland assessment law, as it requires, as you know, a legislative act. Specifically, you mentioned a lot about the income issue and how you folks feel that it makes more apt to cut over cut, which we totally don't agree in. But still, are you going to lobby to change the FLA law? We'd like to know, we'll get some clarification on this. Also, I think that you folks are missing a very big and good opportunity. When you had the meeting up in Passaic County at the, one of their satellite colleges up there, Bloomingdale, I believe it was, you had Greg Daly, who's a tree farmer, who's a past Outstanding Tree Farmer of the Year, also a past Forest Steward of the Year. So he's won several awards for his activities and work that he does with natural resources of his property. He owns 123 acres up in the Oak Ridge area, and it's also one of the oldest active girls camps in the country, and he is incorporating this girls camp, and he also does life and team building skills, and he incorporates all this with his natural resources of the property. At the time of the meeting, several of you were very impressed and sought Greg out afterwards and asked if you could come and visit his property, and he invited you to come and visit his property, to visit his property. And last year, our Tree Farm Day, we have an annual Tree Farm Day event where all the tree farmers and other forest conservationists come and visit tree farms and see what kind of activities are going on and learn about different practices and so forth like that. And you were all sent an invitation to that, which you didn't choose to, no member chose to come. And he was recently at another meeting, maybe at the office in Chester, I'm not sure exactly when it was, where he reiterated his offer to you folks to come and visit. And, you know, he's not the only one out there, you know, doing really good forestry. And I think it would be to your benefit to visit these tree farms and these forested properties that are managing the natural resources of the property, and get a better handle on what is really going on out there on most of these forested lands. It's not what we see a lot in these reports, that we're overcutting and we're not implementing the best management practices. We're actually doing, you know, great things out there, and I think a visit to these properties like Greg's, we're going to send you out another invitation. Tree Farm Day is always the first Friday in June. This year it's June 1st, and it's going to be in Bernardsville on 186 acre estate up there. It's the old Upton Pine estate. It's the largest parcel left of the old Upton Pine estate, and there's a lot of great forestry going on up there, and I hope that some of you folks will be able to make it as our guests, of course, and really see what's going on out there. Thank you for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm Robert Holtaway, Mayor of Bedminster Township. We have set up a subcommittee as part of our planning board, and I do sit on it. We've looked at the maps, and we have two comments. Number one is we were surprised by the size of and the amount of planned area, planned community zone that we ended up with, mostly in our Pottersville area. We realize that there's mapping errors that have yet to be resolved. We just want to be sure that the policy behind it, if we took a look at the five criteria for inclusion, of which there's 12 indicators, we only hit two of the indicators. And yet that is included, and the one that is missing that is most obvious is there's no sewer service in that area. And we are very concerned that, you know, we do not, our master plan does not call for sewer service. The other issue is the extent of the conservation zone that we have. It is more than we anticipated we would have based on our analysis and our master plan and our natural resource inventory over the years. I think that it's important that we review the criteria and understand why we have less protection area than anticipated. And again, I'm not sure if it's a mapping area or if it's a criteria error. One of the things that is missing from your criteria, in my opinion, is the underlying zoning and master plan intent of the municipalities who have been studying this for years. It should be an indicator, in my opinion, and I think that it would help resolve some of our concerns based on our density. We have the only court-supported 10-acre zoning in New Jersey, and yet we are showing development in areas where that is completely contrary to our master plan and our zoning ordinance. Those are the bulk of our. We will be preparing a full statement with support for these comments, but I think that the local opinion, as expressed by the master plan and by the ordinance, should be an indicator in all of the three protection, of all three zones. Thank you very much.
Hello, how you doing? I'm David Tool. I live in Hunterdon County, Lebanon Township. I own 125 acres in Lebanon Township, and I've talked before, I think, in front of the council. I consider myself a blue-collar worker. I have a 40-hour, 50-hour week job. I also farm my property, take hay, and we're woodland management as well, so it's forest. And I'm in the preservation area, whatever the core area. I don't know, change a few times. Whatever the area is, that's one of the toughest areas to start developing. I got caught up in developing my property. They were changing in my township. They're changing from 5 to 7.5 acres. I tried to get 4 lots only, figuring, well, you know, rather than a major subdivision. The 4 lots were turned down because they had changed, meanwhile, into 4 7.5 acre zoning. And then my engineer decided, well, before they change anymore, let's go with a major development. And in my township, it's they'll let you build on the open lands concept. And cluster zoning, which brought us down to 2-acre lots. We had 16 lots, which encompassed maybe around 30 acres or so. Then as the Highlands were writing regulations, I believe we started changing things out of the woods into the fields where they wanted them. And I did all my soil tests, flyover, aerial flyover, as well as all the engineering, the surveys, architectural stuff, fees here and there. Along the line, I spent over $100,000. I didn't get in under the guideline. They took us down to 13 lots. Which was going to be on about 25 acres at that point. I was going to leave 100 acres preserved, which I thought was a great trade-off. I didn't get in, so I'm out the my first mortgage. I got my second mortgage. Now I'm trying to get at least my daughter up on my property, and I can't even do that right now with the way the Highlands is written. You can only build in the woods. We'll only support one septic system in 88 acres, I believe, the way it sits now, and also in a field, 25 acres of one septic system, which means one house. So it's really beginning to be a problem. I was going to wait many years until my almost 7 grandchildren now, went on the way, until they were of college age, start peeling off a couple lots here or there, pay for their education, that sort of thing. It's been a couple of years now, I think 2 or 3 years. They say compensation's on the way. You know, I hear the transfer development rights, we're not even sure how that's going to work. I'm not sure whether I'm going to get compensated at full price as I had the 13 lots. I had a contract for 13 lots at $3,360,000, and which, you know, I had to give the man his deposit back for that. So it's been a little bit tough for me. I still farm my property. I'm out there in 90-degree weather taking hay, etc. And that's my second job, really. I have cows, chickens, goats. I make it look nice for people who want to enjoy open space, etc. I think compensation is a big part of this. I'm all for the idea of saving, you know, of preserving water area, trees, open land, that sort of thing. I've got a 6-acre lake in my property. Of course, I want to protect that. This development was way away from that. The water sloped the other direction. My property does, the lake does flow into the Spruce Run Reservoir eventually. So I understand your concerns. And I think it's great. I just wish that compensation was a big part of the bill here, of the act. And I think full compensation should be. I've been here 10 years now farming, and I just felt that I've, you know, just dealt an unfair card here. It's been 2.5 years. I'm out a lot of money. First mortgage, second mortgage. You know, I'd like to have some of my kids on my property. I have 3 children. I figured maybe they would come up, and it's difficult to even do that right now. By the looks of the crowd, the lack of crowd here, hardly any people in this area even know about the Highlands. I mean, I work in Basker Ridge. I've been to Basker Ridge most of my life. My parents, my white parents, were born and raised in Basker Ridge, Burnsville area. So I talk to people in my line of business. They have the foggiest idea of what's going on. I don't know anybody knows that the farmers are paying for the open border, basically, or open land and fresh water. And I consider myself a farmer as well. I don't think right now is in place a water tax. I talk to people in my place of business, a few people a day. They're all for paying 50 cents a quarter every water bill to compensate people like myself. I've been to a couple of these meetings where farmers in their 70s, 80s, they're trying to peel off one piece of property, 1 acre, or one lot. They can't even do that. One guy lost his wife. Yes, they can. One guy lost his wife, his son, who farmed the lands, and this guy wants to purchase or peel off one piece of property. He can't do it right now. A lot of people here come up and talking. This is a great idea, but they have to really curtail the plan. It's hurting a lot of people like myself. Very unfair. I paid with today's dollars for my property, and I believe I should get compensated. And sooner rather than later, because it's putting me in a financial burden. Thank you very much.
Rory Carrigan in Morris Township, New Jersey. I appreciate the council's continuing efforts to hold these public discussions, and sometimes I think you guys have a thankless job, but I appreciate it, as do many of the citizens in New Jersey. I unequivocally support the adoption of the regional master plan, albeit I think it needs to continue to be tweaked. I want to voice my support for the landowner who just spoke, and I would support a water tax, but I think that this is an important piece of legislation for the future of New Jersey, for not only his children, my children. I live in a township that has done somewhat of a job of preserving open space, and yet every time I look around, I see their own zoning ordinances being violated by builders, by development. I see the headwaters of the Whippany River under a continuing state of degradation, and I think that this move towards a master regional plan and the adoption and implementation of this act is absolutely crucial to the health, not only environmentally, but financially for our state. Thank you very much.
My name is Eric Stiles, and I'm going to testify as a local resident today, because it allows me to provide a more personal note. I reside at 51 Hardscrabble Road in Burnsville, New Jersey, just down the road. My daughter last night, she had a cold, and she said, "Daddy, I want you to read me two stories." Picked the thickest story she could read, read the two stories. She said, "I want another story. I'm really not feeling good." I read her another story. After five stories, the love and the extent of the delay had costs. We kept on dragging the process on. I have 3 minutes, sir, so I'll respect that. Yes. It's born out of love. It's born out of a desire for inclusivity, for dialogue. But yes, the time for the comment period has come to a close. As an individual, there is the need for transparency for the landowners. The cost of delay, we don't know where the water is going to come from for redeveloping Newark. We don't know about clean and potable water for Washington Borough. The landowners that have land locked in this uncertainty in regards to water tax renewal of the Garden State Preservation Trust, the development community has a lack of transparency. I commend the mayor of Bedminster. The issues that he raised have to be addressed at the pre-conformance and conformance process. There's quite a number of excellent things that have been put on the table, but really where the rubber meets the road is after adoption of the plan, where you have community-based innovative strategies that allow for dialogue at a local level, that allow for demonstration of great forestry projects that are occurring throughout the state. And again, I would welcome all the landowners in this room to join us calling on the governor and the legislator to renew the Garden State Preservation Trust. If you go to www.outdoorrecreationalliance.org, we have over 60 mayors calling for that. So we're really pushing for that. Again, I just want to stress that leadership requires vision and courage. At a certain point, you're not being paid to do your jobs, and we applaud you for your commitment, but you need the courage to move forward. There's a real cost to delay. Real people are being hurt, and we're asking you, I'm asking you as an individual tonight, to really move forward, make the hard decisions. Let's get to where the rubber meets the road and really get into the pre-conformance and conformance process where we can really see how this is expressed on the land, and people have a right to predictability and certainty about the fate of that land. Thank you for your consideration.
I'd like to ask people out here not to talk among yourselves and whisper through these, because that is going to hold us. It doesn't carry out your purposes. Is there anyone else who has not spoken in a previous time of council public hearings who would like to speak to this one? Okay. Then next would be Richard Longo, be followed by Julia Summers, be followed by Deborah Mackey, be followed by Michael Mitzel.
Good evening. I borrowed your map from out front. My name is Richard Longo. My wife and I live in own property in Booton Township in Morris County. And our property is in the preservation area. In reference to your regional master plan, you have published maps that have disclaimers on them. The first map that I observed, and many afterwards, have this disclaimer. My question to the council is, why have the disclaimers? Either publish maps that are correct or don't release them until they are scientifically correct. This legislation is so critical and affects the lives of so many people that your responsibility to the people should be to publish and release information that is factual and correct. The RPM is a guiding document for implementation and regulation for the Highlands Act. It is irresponsible for the council to vote the RPM be adopted and enforced. I suggest that you step back and ask yourselves, how can we, the council, release any information that is incorrect? Another problem with the legislation and the RPM is that it prevents people from attaining affordable housing. Real estate prices are soaring in the planning areas, and the American dream of owning a home is only going to be attainable to the wealthy. The TDRs are just the same as RCAs, Regional Contribution Agreements, from 1988. Governor Corzine has stated that he is against RCAs. The TDR program is voluntary and it will not work. I suggest to the council that they tell Governor Corzine that this legislation and the RPM should be repealed. If water is needed outside of this area, there are other means that can be instituted to obtain it. Build reservoirs in those areas. Again, this legislation is not about the water, it's about politics. Thank you for your time.
I'm Julia Summers. I'm the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And I sometimes think that members of the council wonder if we're serious about producing substantive comments. So today I'm just going to give you a hint of a few of the substantive comments that we're going to touch on, that we are talking about and will be addressing in our comments to you. The Highlands Special Resource Areas, we would like you to include Andover Borough, Andover Township, and Lafayette. They're not mapped in the region right now, but they were clearly in the Forest Service study. They belong in the Highlands, and it's important that you include them as special resource areas as you do your planning. It is very important that special areas in the preservation area be designated within which development shall not occur. We believe that is required by the Act, and it's not addressed yet within the RMP. We think it is very important that you identify any lands in which the public acquisition of a fee simple or lesser interest is necessary or desirable in order to ensure the preservation thereof, or to provide sites for public recreation. Again, from your controlling legislation, but not included in the Act yet. We think it is extremely important that you promote conservation of water resources, both in the Highlands region and in the areas outside of the Highlands region. We don't think that there's enough emphasis on that, and it's going to be an extremely important part of your role as you go forward. We don't think that your policy is clear, and we think it must be made very clear that where there is no capacity, that must be made very clear. We don't think that many of the communities that look at the maps and see purple, we don't think they recognize or realize that nearly all of them have a water impairment at this point. And you know, this isn't purple go for build. This is not a growth map, and it really needs to be made clear. If you designate lake management zones, and I suspect that you are going to do something along those lines, it is extremely important that lake water quality be used as a major measurement of success. If you aren't improving or protecting the quality of the water in the lake, what's the point of working to protect the areas around the lake? This one is like a duh, but it's not in the RMP. All water in the Highlands must meet the goals of the Clean Water Act. Please include that. Within land preservation and stewardship, you're going to be overseeing, perhaps particularly through TDR, no, I take that back, but you are going to be overseeing the acquisition of a lot of property, we hope, within the region. And if structures exist, please make sure that the standards and the policy reflects preservation policies as appropriate for protection. Ownership and stewardship might be different. They might have different organizations owning the building and stewarding the property. But you need to start thinking about things like that, because this issue of who owns the property, who manages the property, who takes care of the buildings is going to be critical as you go forward. Agriculture. You talk a lot about agriculture, but you don't talk very much about farmland. We think it's important that farmland figure prominently in the RMP, because it does figure prominently in the Act's goals. And it's not given equal billing in the land use capability map or the technical report for agriculture. Who is going to oversee agriculture? You have a lot of goals for agriculture within the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act, but who is going to oversee whether or not you meet those goals? Do you have an understanding with the State Agricultural Board, or how are you going to handle that? There needs to be some kind of baseline to determine the impact of agriculture on water resources. Some of your highest areas of nitrates anywhere in the Highlands are under ag lands. And there is no kind of baseline that we understand at this moment to either improve or even document that fact. Here's an odd one, but we really think you need to enhance the habitat for bees. It's really a small thing, but bees are going to become extinct very soon, and we're going to have some really serious agricultural problems. And the Highlands, if we can't enhance habitat for bees and encourage that as one of your policies, where can we? Air quality. You have a section on air quality in the RMP, but you don't have anything about making sure there are monitors in each of the counties. There are hardly any monitors. I think there's one in Warren and one in Morris. And the one in Morris is on an intermittent basis. You need more permanent monitors in each county. And that you need to be doing standardized testing, and you need to add VOC to that monitoring. Also carbon monoxide and formic acid. Those are all things that need to be followed. The RMP does not include any planning for air quality improvement, for trip reductions, locating of major facilities that might be affecting air quality within the region. Air quality is a weak spot within the RMP. I'm skipping lots of things here. Recreational resources, we think, are sort of the poor stepchild of the RMP. And there's a lot more work that needs to be done on recreational resources. They are recognized as important within the Act, but maybe you haven't had time to focus on recreational resources, but they have an important role within the Highlands that, to some extent, may become the playground for the northern part of the state in the future. And certainly, tourism is an important thing that you're going to be promoting, so recreation needs more attention. There needs to be a statement, even if it's only a statement. I recognize that this is a difficult time, but there must be a statement in the RMP laying out the relationship between the RMP and COA. That is one of the things that grabs the attention of almost every municipality within the Highlands. I'm not saying negotiate a memorandum of understanding with COA, but at least a statement of where you think the Act expects you to go with it. Utility capacity. There is an incredible disconnect between many of the comments you have been receiving about how all your maps are wrong on where the sewers are, and these maps don't reflect our sewer service areas. Well, the sewer service areas are not what you have been mapping. But also what you have been mapping, you do not reflect the carrying capacity of those pipes in the ground and those plants that those pipes go to. It's very important that you understand what capacity you have left in those plants, what capacity you have in those pipes. Again, this may be an ongoing thing. This is not a criticism about, why isn't it in the plan? This is something that needs to be recognized, needs to be done. And what is the status of usage of all those sewage treatment plants? How many systems are over 80% committed? I don't think that there is any kind of understanding of that at this time. We've got a whole bunch of comments here that we're working on to do with transportation, but a couple of really important ones. We would like to see the council support the improvement of the Lackawanna Cutoff as a rail trail. It's a very important ecotourism draw. I think the council needs to take a position on this, most particularly because along the Lackawanna Cutoff, there are transit villages or nodes or hubs, whatever you want to call them. In some places like Morristown, which I recognize Mr. Whitenack is very familiar with, that's perfectly understandable. But there are also nodes being proposed in areas that are farm fields right now. And that clearly is going to run contrary to the policies and goals of the RMP and needs to be recognized. And we would like to see you take a position on transit villages in the preservation area or the conservation area zone, and also on the Lackawanna Cutoff as a rail trail. I've got things in here about alternative energy and all kinds of other things, but I know I've taken more than my 3 minutes. This is just a hint of what we're working on. It's much larger than that. We're going to be bringing stuff to you about GIS use and transfer of development rights, which astonishingly we have an agreed upon coalition position on transfer of development rights, where we disagree with a lot of what you're proposing. But I just wanted to let you know. We are working hard. Thank you.
How you doing? I guess 2 points. Reading through your technical documents, I see that you're addressing the Peak West River, which is in Warren County, by May. And there's some concern about the temperature of the water and relation to that being a C1 stream. I don't see anything in your master plan dealing with the primary cause of the water change in temperature. And on the same reason that the same thing that's causing that temperature change is the DEP operates two Hackettstown and the Peak West Fish Hatchery, and they pull out of that aquifer, I believe 6,500 gallons a minute comes out of the Peak West Fish Hatchery. That's more water than the balance of Warren County uses out of one single source.
They're pulling it out of the groundwater. They're dumping it back into the Peak West. You should be dealing with that in your master plan. You should be curtailing the state of New Jersey from sucking all that water out of the groundwater and dumping it in the Peak West and flushing it out into the ocean if you're really about water. I see nothing. I see you're concerned about the temperature. I see nothing within any of your documentation that addresses the fact that it does come out of there and that that is the cause of it. The other point would be stewardship. The DEP, through the Green Acres program, has been purchasing quite a bit of real estate. They are at least as bad, if not worse, than the federal government at managing forest. They have no management plan. There is no management. This council, at least within the Highlands area, should mandate that the DEP manage the forest in a responsible manner. Not just buy the property or let it sit there and do nothing with it. I see nothing in your regional master plan that tells the DEP to do that. I would hope, I know that there's a lot of the DEP people are working either for or with you, that you're not letting the DEP write this thing for you. I would say that to you as council members, you guys should be writing this, not the DEP. Tell them, quit pulling their water out of the aquifer and manage the forest and manage the property that they're buying in an appropriate manner. They go in, they buy off farmland, and they take it out of farmland production on a regular and normal basis. They say that they may say that they don't, but the simple fact that the rules in the terms and conditions of a lease from the DEP prohibit anyone from actually farming it. No one in their right mind is going to lease it from the DEP. Some of the items that you need to address. Thanks.
I am Marco Natale from Precipiti, and I'd like to speak on behalf of my widowed mother, Maria Natale. We own a family business that builds new homes.
Can you step back a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. My father, who's the head of our business, purchased 112 acres of land on August 4th of 2003 with the entire life savings and a loan from the bank without any knowledge of where the Highlands Act was going to directly affect. Okay, 1 week later, on August 11th, 2003, my father unexpectedly passed away, which made it our family's first catastrophe. At that present time, there was a subdivision for this property in the process of being approved for 23 homes, which is why our company purchased the property to continue producing revenues to repay loans. Just a few more town board meetings and the project was going to be approved, since the preliminary stage had already been completed. Well, no one expected my father to pass away, so that suddenly caused a lot of turmoil, and we had to suddenly restructure our business, go over the will, and just everything changed. Meanwhile, we had no clue that the Highlands Act was moving up on us really fast and about to lock up everything suddenly without warning. So as you can imagine, many years of planning, sacrifice, and livelihood for many employees was halted with it, as well as it put me into debt by nearly $3 million, and so far not one person has come forward to help us out. Why is that? Sounds like the cart was put in front of the horse. Due to the subdivision and the process being approved, the farm assessment tax were dropped, and there's suddenly a huge difference for the tax rate increase. After this act halted our operation, we went back to Sparta Municipal Court and tried to reverse the higher property taxes back to the original farm assessment tax rate, but was denied and left with the additional burden of heavy expense to pay for when we cannot use the land appropriately. Definitely not fair about that one. Also, for Mr. Tittle, the head of the Sierra Club, I'm with you only halfway. Why I say halfway? Because so far, it sounds like at every meeting, or even from what I read in the papers, you say We need to preserve land because or else we won't have any clean water left to drink in 50 years from now. Well, guess what? Right, you sound like a broken record player. All we want is start speaking on both sides like how I can be. Both sides. You want your open space land? Fine. It comes at a price. It's not for free. I want to hear you get up here and speak about how you're going to, how this money be raised. He was just there a moment ago. I'm almost done anyway. But anyways, getting to it is, if you can get up here and talk about how this money will be raised and will everyone be taken care of, you get your open space land, no landowners get burned, and everybody's happy in the long run, I'll be with you 100% of the way. The last part is, anybody who supports this plan, it sounds like a good idea in one sense, but it's bad in another. Who are you to come along and start dictating our lifestyles as to how I'm going to be living? You didn't ask for me to vote for you. You didn't even ask for my permission to come along. It just sounds like you just showed up and said, we're taking over. Well, guess what? That makes me feel like I'm in China, Russia, Vietnam, and North Korea where communism exists. I'm sorry, but I just can't agree with that. If you came up with the plan to raise the money first and said, this is what's going to happen at this certain point, not so much political nonsense going on behind closed doors, and made it more open like how it is now, I'd agree with you more wholeheartedly like that. Please, I urge everyone over here to reconsider. If you're going to make this plan go through, you have to make it fair for everybody. There's many people over here, such as that farmer over here from Baskin Ridge. Hey, I'm not a farmer, but I'm a landowner of 112 acres. So I know what it's like to be in your kind of shoes and working day in, day out. Does anybody in this room feel sorry for him? I don't think so, or at least not enough of you. Please, do it the American dream way, not the other way. What I'm talking about over in Asia. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. My wife Lois and I live and own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. Our land is in the preservation area and some is in the conservation zone of the regional master plan. When you look at the zones established by the regional master plan, which I believe is based on science or soon will be, it is obvious that the boundary of the preservation area established by the Highlands Act was not based on science. I believe that this line enclosing the preservation area is obviously a politically drawn line, and I will now read to you a letter that I wrote to Governor Corzine just over 1 year ago. The letter is dated March 14, 2006, and reads as follows. Dear Governor Corzine, New Jersey was once divided by a political line. There was East Jersey and there was West Jersey. Fortunately, the state was eventually put back together. Please do not divide it again. Based on unfair and misguided legislation supported by former Governor McGreevy, who resigned in disgrace, the entire state and its economy will suffer. My wife and I are already suffering. I have been a self-employed land surveyor since 1969. Our land was our retirement plan. At least three-quarters of its value is gone. Unless that unnecessary line enclosing the area called the preservation area and the draconian rules being imposed on that area by the DEP are removed, I am 70 years old and have worked all my life, and I'm still doing so. I feel as though I have been mugged. Sincerely, Andrew Drysdale. And back to page one. I have heard and read that New Jersey, the state with the highest taxes in the nation, is now considering selling air rights, road right-of-ways, and development rights, possibly to foreign countries. This is totally unacceptable. Unnecessary politically sponsored programs such as the Highlands Act, only increase the size of bureaucracy and the expenses for the state and everyone in it, except for those who are lining their pockets with the taxpayers' money. Please stop this cancerous growth of corrupt government now. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tom Speed. I'd just like to make this quick and short. From what I first understood that the Highlands was all about was this water. But the more I read and hear about it, everybody's deciding that they want to make a playground also. I mean, is our property going to become the playground for New Jersey? Is that what this is all about? Now, the thing is, how can you consider proceeding any further with this RMP when you haven't addressed one of the major factors, funding? I mean, to me, this whole package is incomplete. Therefore, I don't think you should be able to even consider implementing this until you address that fact. Third, property values. I feel that the property values should be increased after the Highlands Act because apparently this property is worth an excessive amount of money because there's no more around, and it's providing water for everyone. So I think that should add to the value of the property, not decrease it because it's in the Highlands Act. It's in the Highlands Act, and it's water, and it's a natural resource, and it's needed. Well, and I think that should increase the value of the property that you're going to compensate us landowners. And I feel that until you come up with a plan, there's no way that you should be able to consider moving on. And I'm just waiting for the time when we can get response from the panel. Right. So far, every meeting has been input. We sit, stare, and looking at faces. We see no result from anything, any comment from anyone else. We don't even know if this is even for any reason at all, if you're just going to go by it and just pass it through just like the original legislation did. I mean, it was railroaded through in a couple of months. Is that what's going to happen with the implementation? That's all I want to know. And when will the meeting start where we get response from you? Thank you.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is Tom Wells, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy in New Jersey. I've lived in the Highlands area for 26 years. I'd like to thank the council for providing us with the opportunity to present some testimony on the draft regional management plan. The mission of the Conservancy is to preserve plants, animals, and natural communities that represent the diversity of life on Earth by protecting the lands and waters they need to survive. And in the past, the Conservancy has focused almost exclusively on preserving significant or specific properties that harbored rare or endangered plants or animals. But over our 52 years as a conservation organization, as our scientific knowledge has grown, we and others have come to recognize that in order to preserve biodiversity, large blocks of unfragmented habitat containing both rare and common species must be preserved to allow wide-ranging animals to flourish and evolution to take its course. For nearly a year, our scientists here in the state and our planners have been engaged in a conservation planning process to determine our priorities in New Jersey for the next 3 years. And unfragmented blocks of natural habitat are the fundamental building blocks of our conservation plan. In northern New Jersey, the areas that stand out above the others are the forests along the Delaware River in northwestern New Jersey and those within the northern half of the Highlands region, generally north of Route 80. In reviewing the draft regional management plan, we're pleased to see that virtually all the forested areas in the Highlands that we determine to be of highest importance to biodiversity are located within the Highlands Preservation Area with NJDEP regs and complementary policies contained in the draft RMP would provide a strong basis on which to preserve the unfragmented nature of this area. In addition, the delineation of the protection area in the draft RMP extends protections to other areas of biodiversity within the planning area. And based on our knowledge of the Highlands region, we believe that the draft RMP's delineation of the protection area, as well as its policies relating to ecosystem management, provide a firm foundation on which to preserve biodiversity in this unique region of New Jersey. Of course, the true test of whether the RMP will actually be effective in preserving biodiversity will be in its ability to preserve over time the large unfragmented blocks of forests that are fundamental to the ecological health of the Highlands. The planned community development zones, PCZs, that are embedded in the RMP's protection area contain important areas of environmental sensitivity, such as wetlands, stream corridors, and forested slopes, which extend into the protection area. From an ecological standpoint, because of their connection to systems in the protection area, these areas are important to the long-term viability of biodiversity in this region. Therefore, we recommend that all environmentally sensitive areas in the PCZs be carefully mapped and afforded the same protections as land in the protection area. In addition, we recommend that the boundaries of the PCZs that are embedded within the protection area be delineated as tightly as possible around the areas of existing development within the PCZs to avoid, to the maximum extent feasible, new development at the fringes of PCZs that would reduce the size and further fragment the protection area, threatening its ecological integrity. In addition to limiting the effects of new development within the PCZs on the integrity of portions of the protection area that lie within the Highlands Preservation Area, to be successful, the Regional Manager Plan will have to incorporate enough incentives for municipalities in the planning area, which represents 50% of the, roughly 50% of the Highlands area, to elect to modify their planning and zoning ordinances to conform with the Regional Management Plan. Since municipal compliance with the Regional Management Plan is entirely voluntary in the planning area, as all of you well know, the Council needs to be as helpful in providing information and technical assistance to local officials as possible. The Council should create a table that clearly converts the land use capability map zones to actual planning and zoning standards. It would also be helpful for the Council to prepare a complete array of model ordinances that, if adopted, would implement the Regional Management Plan standards. In addition, the Council should work with other state agencies to persuade those agencies to adopt policies and funding guidelines that give extra resources to municipalities that bring their planning and zoning into conformance with the RMP. The Nature Conservancy has a special interest in the planning area because we have three nature preserves within this area, totaling over 1,200 acres. And it is important to the integrity of those preserves to have planning and zoning in the areas surrounding them that fully recognizes the conservation of natural resources. Finally, in the course of the public comment period on the draft regional management plan, questions have been raised about the ability of various sub-watersheds in the Highlands to support new development that would be permitted under the regional management plan. As we all know, safeguarding the water resources of the Highlands is the overarching goal of the Highlands Act, both to guarantee sufficient water quality and quantity for current and future New Jersey residents who rely on Highlands for their drinking water, while ensuring that adequate stream flows and aquifer levels are maintained to support the vast array of wildlife that live in the Highlands. We strongly recommend that in preparing the final RMP, the Council revisit the areas of allowable development in the context of water resource limitations to ensure that water resources of the Highlands that are already under stress are not compromised further, either on a localized or a regional basis. Thank you again for the opportunity to present the comments.
I just walked in the room, so I don't know what's been said already or what hasn't been said. But a couple issues I had. Give you a little background on me. I've been an open space chairperson for a township in Somerset County for the past 3 years, so I'm basically an environmentalist at heart. I'm actually a landscape contractor for a living, so trying to make a living so I don't like destroy the world. A couple issues I have is my dad happens to own a parcel out in Hunterdon County that we bought in 1916 as vacant land. I guess my beef would be that there's no funding source if he decides to sell his piece of property. I think each guy should have like a water tax or something. And my other beef would be if we're doing those all to protect the water for wherever, you know, Hudson County or something, wouldn't it make sense that we, put water restrictions on people, like the Budweiser plant in Newark and fill up as much beer as they want or wash the floors as much as they want? Would it make sense to like put water restrictions down in those areas? Before we go and take people's property values away. And I know you've all heard this already. Basically the Indians didn't, have border lines on their properties. I think that's more of a European concept. But as long as our society is based on this concept, it basically kind of feels like to me like you're stealing people's property. And it's, that's okay if you're going to compensate them and they want to sell based on our societal values. But, I think you need a funding source that's pretty stable. Or if you're going to do transfer development rights, you got to get that program up and running and make it feasible to somebody that does want to sell their property or their farm or their large acreage off. I think that's basically my input. Okay, thanks.
I'd like to make another comment. Well,
so thank you very much.
You usually have 300 people in the room, 200 people in the room, right? You normally have 300 people in the room. You're going to get home early tonight. Okay, I will. Boy, what I want to say is that you say you're listening to the people. I've been to many of these meetings. 80% of people that come up to the microphone are against the way this act is written at this time. So when you say listen to the people, I don't think you're really listening to the majority of the people. I really don't. The way the act is being developed at this time. That's just my opinion, but that's what I've seen. Thank you.